Hey everybody, welcome to Gaming My Whole Life. It's your host George here, and we have the fabulously entertaining Jamel. My friend, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, George. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Well, always my pleasure. You certainly spice things up about here. How's your day been?
Yeah, day's been pretty good. Flat out. So I've mentioned in the last episode that we moved house, and not you and me, because that would be interesting.
No, we don't live together.
No,
like we don't the bromance live is strong, but there's
but
a slight
war.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
And so I've just been pretty flat out with organizing things, all that kind of stuff. But still got plenty of time to play games. Not really, but talk about games.
you've found a compromise. Like, all right, I don't have time to play the games. I will talk about it for like a half hour or 40 minutes because that time I have. I don't have time to start a new 20-hour campaign.
Yes, exactly.
Only because you're living the good life right now because you've moved into your new place. It looks great. And
yes.
Yeah, you're pretty focused on that. Now, let's get to today's topic. Or not more of a topic. I wanted to let you know what I've been up to. And okay. That is I've recently built a new PC. Yes, I committed and now I'm vigorously poor again. So, like, things were good and then I got excited and I told myself, right, I'm going to walk into the PC store and it'll be fine. I'm going to get one item. So after the biggest, you know, lie in history was said, and
right.
I walked away with too much, I ended up getting a brand new motherboard, new RAM, because then the old RAM wouldn't plug in there, and got a new CPU. So got one of the shiny Ryzen CPUs, which is like the best, you know, AMD CPU you can get. You know how Intel has like Intel 7 or 8 or whatever they're up to now?
Yeah.
I have the opposition's best CPU, mainly because, frankly, it was more affordable for me.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because, yeah, the latest Intel is very expensive. So was what I got, but it was almost half the price of that, to be honest.
And have you noticed the big difference in performance and things like that?
I have actually. See, that's the thing. I didn't upgrade my graphics card because by the time I upgraded everything else, I was already poor and already went way over my budget. And the thought of then adding like $1,000 graphics card or $800 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
My determination was no, that's not going to happen. But yes, I was told before I upgraded that having a good CPU really helps with video editing and software. So I thought, okay, that's good. I'm doing the whole YouTube channel thing.
Yes.
And doing the video editing is a very slow process. Like, I can apply a simple effect and then my whole computer starts lagging.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's not too ideal. That being said, the moment I installed this, everywhere it used to lag, it doesn't happen anymore. And for comparison's sake, before, if I rendered, say, a 6-minute video, that would actually take me 20 to 30 minutes. That's how much time my computer would need. Upgrading my CPU, when I uploaded my second YouTube video just the other night, I had a 9-minute video instead of 6. And instead of it taking 20 to 30 minutes, it took 5 minutes to render
it. Wow.
So I was expecting a bit of
performance increase.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you. The simplest words throw me off. Yes, I wasn't expecting such a big performance increase, and I am so glad. And I was using another program called GIMP for a bit of photo editing because images I use in my YouTube videos, obviously because it's like copyright problems everywhere, I need to find my own images, edit them myself, and bring them in and yada, yada, yada. I would use GIMP and they used to run very slowly, flawless now. So I'm happy with that upgrade.
Nice. So what else have you been up to? Like what games have you been playing? Like what's been going on?
Well, I was playing Mega Man X on the Switch. I got that collector's edition.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and I'm loving that game, right? All my childhood memories are flashing back. Mega Man X is easily my favorite game of the series. That being said, while I was playing it, and I remember I was messaging you about it later as well, is while playing, I'm playing on the big screen and pressing
the Switch,
jump
though,
button.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm playing on the Switch. So it's in the hub. So it's, you know, upscale to my TV, which is this huge 4K thing. And when you press the jump button, I couldn't help but notice that there was a little bit of a delay.
Seriously? Like, input delay?
Yes, there was input delay. And I even noticed outright lag out of nowhere. And this was confusing me because I'm like, hold up. I know the Switch isn't the most powerful system in the world, but we're talking about a game that came on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, right.
The Switch would literally be like 30,000 times stronger or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Were you losing frames like as well? Like, what happened there?
Well, say I was running around and it didn't even need to be a busy scene and I just wanted to jump and shoot. The most basic thing and pretty much what you do all of Mega Man. And I'll press the jump button and then he would vanish and then appear a few feet in the air.
Really?
I am serious. And this was doing my head in because I was thinking, how can Capcom do such a bad job porting this? Like, what's going on? And so I accepted this, right? I'm like, okay, I'll get on with my day. At least I can still play this old game. I'm annoyed that it's performing really badly, but I guess that's what it is. And so later that same night, I decide, you know what? Switch is awesome because it's portable. Let's actually use that feature. So I'm lying in bed and I'm playing in handheld. So it's off the dock. It's in my hands. It's playing on its own screen. And I couldn't help but notice something really weird. It ran perfectly. The moment this buggy game was in handheld mode, it was fine. And my theory was right about the delay because while in handheld, when I pressed the button, it responded immediately. And right. I thought, am I being paranoid here or something? Like, nah, surely. So go back into the lounge room. I put it back in the dock. Again, straight away, it started running horrible.
That is ridiculous. Because it's funny that you mentioned this because after we were talking about this, I actually booted up my Mini SNES, you know, the special edition that Nintendo released. And yeah. Mega Man X is on there. And so I was thinking to myself, I can't imagine that this game's going to run worse or better than the Switch, you know, like, I know that's contradictory, but, like, surely the Mini SNES can't be as good as the Switch.
Well, yeah, and the Switch is a lot more powerful, like, yeah. Without saying, yeah.
But I turned on the Mini SNES, flawless, as if you were playing Mega Man X on the original Super Nintendo. Completely flawless. I am shocked that there's this kind of frame rate delay and input delay. It must be some sort of technical limitation of the Switch because it can't be Capcom's port if on the handset version that it works way better than on the upscaled version where you've got the controller. There has to be some technical flaw with the Switch where when you're not using it, when you've got it docked and you're using the controller that's plugged in, that there's input delay and you're losing frames. That has to be a consequence of the upscaling technology in the Switch and the actual how the controller works.
I'm hoping they patch it in later because it's definitely not a matter of raw power. Like the Switch is more than able to run this ancient game flawlessly. But you're right, there is something there which Capcom or Nintendo wasn't expecting. And the strange thing is that I have all these graphically impressive Switch games, right? And Mega Man X runs the worst.
It has to be something to do with how it upscales.
It has to be. I agree. Because everything else runs perfectly. I have never played any game on the Switch that has been less than perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, the moment it upscales, goes downhill. But
that has to be really problematic because of one of the things that we've touted about the Switch is how that they're actually allowing publishers to bring out their back catalogue. You know what I mean? So, for example, we're talking about how you could buy Art of Fighting and King of Fighters and Fatal Fury, really old SNK games that are kind of equivalent, some of them anyway, to Street Fighter 2. Yeah. I'm talking about the original Street Fighter 2. So, if you're having upscaling issues, that's a lot of those titles that are going to have that. So, it'd be interesting if we could get our fan base on our Facebook page to give us some feedback. Have they gotten any of these old titles, you know, the back catalog stuffs? And if they could report to us about their experience, that would be really cool. I think it'd be really interesting.
I think that's a fantastic suggestion. So, yeah, exactly. To all our podcast listeners, if you happen to also hang with us in our Facebook page, Positive Gaming Space, just start a topic or reply to the link for this podcast, which I always share there, and just let us know if you've ever played a game in handheld on the Switch, and the moment you upscale, it goes downhill, or maybe the exact opposite, that it runs great in the... It runs great on your TV, but then the moment you go to handheld, it just all falls apart. So would love to hear about that. I've never experienced any issues outside of this one game. So that's why I'm thinking a patch will probably fix it up. Now, moving away from Mega Man X, I didn't think we'd be talking about this next game so soon because weren't expecting any extra information, but... They've actually shown Cyberpunk gameplay now, haven't they? Like, we've moved beyond the trailer already, is that correct?
Yeah. They released 48 minutes of gameplay. I was watching it back in August of this game, Cyberpunk 2077, and it looks amazing. So in this trailer, you follow the main character, who's a woman, a cyborg, called V. So just the letter V, as far as I know.
And I'll just jump in there for our listeners. If you don't already know, we're talking about a first-person game here. So while Jamel describes the whole scenario, think first-person because that's how this game plays. Yeah. Sorry, go for it, buddy.
But you do see V in cutscenes in the third-person view. So she's a very present character, and she's got a very definite art style and all of that kind of thing. It still remains to be seen if V is the only character that you can play, or if she's a subject or a consequence of the character builder, which they also touted in that demo, I believe, or was it in E3? But beside the point.
Yeah, you can build your own, customize your own characters or build. I'm not sure how in depth it is.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, you can do some cool things.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that remains to be seen, which is fine because the game's still in development. But this game looks phenomenal. The high definition fidelity of the graphics is insane. And that there are parts of it where, if it wasn't for some of the stylized elements, I would think to myself, holy crap, is this like some sort of, you know, Final Fantasy Spirits Within style movie that we're watching? So...
Oh, wow, it's left that much of an impression on you.
Yeah, it looked really good. Now, to be fair, it's not as highly rendered as that movie because Square Enix's ability to render that stuff is pretty phenomenal. That is next level, but the game looks amazing. And they were recently doing an interview with one of the producers of the game and the lead developers even, and they were talking about how they pushed the engine that they used for The Witcher 3 to its limits, or even beyond. Ooh, that, because...
I love engine talk. Tell me more about their engine. So this is what the game runs off, yeah? Their graphics engine?
Yeah, absolutely. And so basically, the main thrust of the interview I'm talking about was that they basically realized themselves that we've done really well with Witcher 3, and we have a really keen capacity we have a realization of what our capabilities are and what the capacity of our development staff is. And so that's also given them the freedom to go, okay, we have to not only do what we did good before, but evolve. And so they've got a new mocap studio, they've got a new system for animating faces that's based on muscles, they have new lip syncing, they have a new animation tool. So they've actually grabbed, you know, they've identified bits and pieces of their engine where they've said, okay, we can, you know, we have to be brave enough to change. And they've taken things that have worked before and just throw them out the window and just built new, better pieces into their engine. And that is really exciting because Witcher 3 looked really good. But
it does. Still to this day, The Witcher 3 has been used as a benchmark for PC enthusiasts and gamers who have built a new rig and they're, right, what can I run that looks amazing yet is demanding? And The Witcher 3 comes to mind. It used to be Crysis, then The Witcher 3 took over. I really like the idea that they want to do more. Because they, let's be honest, they could have very easily just stuck with the exact same engine they used for Witcher 3 and edited it, manipulated it until it worked with the first-person shooter. But they've said, no, we're going to take this further. they've gotten some confidence, which confidence in any developer is a very attractive feature.
Yes.
You never want a developer who's doing a sequel or doing a new game to play it safe, especially when you have, because me being a Nintendo fanboy, right? I'm loyal something stupid.
Mm.
Fans of CD Projekt Red are at the same level of loyalty. It is ridiculous. If you start an online conversation and mention CD Projekt Red, the defenders, the lovers of those games will jump right up there. And I guarantee that the vast majority of all of them who enjoyed The Witcher, even though this is a first-person shooter and obviously looks completely different, like there's nothing medieval about this, there's nothing about sword, we're going past current, we're going into the future, we're going into cyberpunk, hence the name and all that. So completely different direction, different type of game, apart from the fact that there will be RPG elements, and fans are still excited. And it sounds like they're not going to disappoint. They're going to go all the way, because as much as we feel that these companies are untouchable, like they're just rolling in so much money, a failure doesn't mean anything, that is not true at all. Games can cost so much that CD Projekt could release Cyberpunk and it could just fail horribly and then they're bankrupt. Like, that's how bad that can be damaged. But they're not letting that hold them back. They're taking that leap of faith, and good on them. I'm personally, when I see the game, I'm a little excited by it. I think it has the potential to be a great game. I'm not as excited as other people are and as yourself. Mm. But that being said, because I know the developers are skilled and because I know they're giving this their all, I'm going to give it a chance. Whereas if they approach this half-ass and reuse the same engine, didn't really push anything further, tried to play it safe, I'm like, you know what, you're playing it safe, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just going to be boring if they do that. And the other thing is that not only are they pushing the boundaries, but they're paying really close attention to optimizing the engine so it still can run on current-gen consoles. So, and people's hardware may not just get outstripped by this game, which is also another super attractive feature.
That is great that they're thinking about their fan base, and what has caused a lot of people to be surprised, because when we first saw the trailers, we all reacted like you. We're thinking, this looks amazing. And then when we saw the actual gameplay, we're like, dang, it actually matches. Like, it's that good.
Yeah.
And the next immediate thought to one's mind is, oh my goodness, this is going to run on current gen consoles? Wow, really? And that's great, because there's so many PS4 owners out there, there's so many 360 owners out there, and whoever doesn't fall in one of those boats will get it on PC, and PC is more flexible because, hey, you can't max it, fine. If you need to play it on the lower settings, so be it, but at least it's an option. You know, it's not like PlayStation 3 owners can play this game but on lower settings. They don't get that chance, which is something I think about sometimes, to be honest, which is a shame. I understand each console goes further than the last and you want to keep progressing. I'm totally down for that. But sometimes I have thought to myself, it would be cool if the next console comes out, you know, like the PlayStation 5, and you can't afford to go out and buy it, but you have a PlayStation 4.
That would
be nice if you had the option to play it on your PlayStation 4 without getting a new console, but you play it at lower settings. I mean, video game consoles are so close to PCs, if you think about it.
Especially today.
Yeah. I feel, why not just go all the way? Why not give players the option for low and high settings? And in a way, they have started to implement that, because these days when you get a game, say on the PS4, you can choose what mode to run it at. So you can choose, do I want to focus on resolution or do I want to focus on frame rate? I'm suggesting the next level. This game is way too good for my current video game console, so I'm going to run it in bad, low graphic settings. But I'm happy because I can at least play it, and opens up developers to a larger market, because then they're not just appeasing the current gen fans, the old ones and maybe giving it a shot, if that's possible. I just think it would be cool.
It would be. But yeah, that's one of the things we're just going to have to see. So what else have you been up to, George? Because I saw on some YouTube that you got some interesting antics.
I did. So after our last recording, so our last podcast, we spoke a lot about how Capcom's doing a good job. And they're bringing out Mega Man 11. They're doing the Resident Evil 2 remake. Devil May Cry 5 looks great. So there's a lot of positive vibes going on with Capcom. And I thought about it and thought, right, I'm going to dedicate my second YouTube video to Capcom. Because... Capcom. To Capcom!
Capcom!
And I did a little bit of a silly thing, which seemed like a great idea at the time. And anyone listening to this, I'd actually highly recommend, if anything, just for laughs, but also a good video.
if you do say so yourself.
if I say so myself. So the video is called Capcom is Back, right? The full title, yeah. Capcom is Back in 2018. So it's exactly what it sounds. I'm talking Capcom up because they're doing a good job, well done. And we have a little brief look at the history together with fancy graphics and whatnot. What I didn't expect and plan to do, but I did anyway, is for some reason when I first started recording the voiceover, I started doing a voice, Jamel. It wasn't my voice. It sort of reminds me of when you see a movie trailer and you just have this exaggerated masculine voice, which no one would actually talk to in real life. So
you idiot.
So I ran with it. So I'm like, all right, let's have a bit of fun here. You know, if this YouTube channel is meant to represent me, I need to have some fun. And instead of saying, you know, Capcom is back and here's why, I'm like, Capcom is back with... And like, I just thought it was hilarious because apparently I'm very simple. So I kept up this voice. And to start off with, it was really entertaining, right? And then I hit a bit of a wall because I'm thinking, oh, I can't just suddenly go to my normal voice. I'm like, what do I do? So I'm trying to maintain this cinema voice. That's what I'm going to refer it as. And about the minute and a half mark, I start losing my voice. I wasn't able to maintain it. And by the end, I went from cinema guy to old man grandpa. And my voice was reminding me of the voice actor of Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, the English version.
What you mean, Vegeta? What does the scatter say about his power level?
Exactly, like Kakarot! Like, you know.
Kakarot!
So that guy. And then eventually I just had to succumb. And you just have this really strange moment where I'm like, right, so we've spoken about the negative, so now let's talk about the positive. And there's just this huge shift in my voice with no warning. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness. I'm like, at the very least, if they weren't being entertained by just all the information I was bringing, they're at least laughing at me now. They've probably caught on with what's happened and why this tool has decided for the first minute and a half of his video to just be talking this ridiculous voice that changes with almost every word because I was losing my voice rapidly.
Oh, God.
And then for the next, like, 6 minutes of the video, just talking normally. So... That was a mistake and something I learned. I don't regret it because I thought it was fun and hopefully I get some giggles out of it. But I won't be doing it again. Like, even if people in the comments are like, oh, bring back the voice, I would just be like, dot, 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 no. like, I can't unless my future videos are going to last for a minute, which
yes.
who's going to watch that, seriously?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I am very happy to hear that you had fun making your video and you didn't blow up your voice too badly that you couldn't record this this podcast.
Thankfully, I did recover.
Yes, you did. But I actually think this is all that we have for the audience today. Is there anything else you want to talk to everyone about, George?
Not really, but I want to give a bit of a... heads up that in the next podcast, there will definitely be Nintendo Talk, because Nintendo Direct, from the time of this recording, by the time this is uploaded, actually, a Nintendo Direct would have happened. Mm-hmm. It was delayed because of the earthquake which happened, which...
Oh, that's right.
Which, much respect to the company, they weren't directly affected by the earthquake, but out of respect to the rest of the country, really, they chose to delay it and resume it at a later date. And that would have already happened by the time this comes out. So I promise you, I'm going to absorb and sponge all that information, because that's just who I am as a person. And we will vigorously cover it in the next podcast. So
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So until then, thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Gaming My Whole Life. Hope you have a great day. This is where we talk games, follow the industry, and geek out from pixels to now. Jamel?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. And remember, keep playing games and don't run out of lives.
Yes, he's got it back.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.